Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports Talk. Well, you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Number three, Zoe and Beadle. It is Adam Jones and Christian Arcan in for the guys, taking you up until 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, day before the 4th of July. We got Dan Shaughnessy alongside from the Boston Globe. Tomorrow, you could have some real dates of distinction tomorrow, Shaughnessy. It's a big day tomorrow. That one writes itself. A
lot of stuff happened on the 4th of July.
I think
Jefferson and Adams both died on the 4th of July, right?
My guess is that's probably right. That sounds about right.
I think they did. In like miles apart.
Same day, right?
Unbeknownst
same
to
year.
One another, yes.
Same year?
Yeah, same day.
Miles apart. Oh, when you said miles apart, I guess I interpreted that as you meant years. Literal miles apart from one another, they died on the same day.
Two of the founding fathers. Yes, I believe that happened.
On the 4th of July.
But it was not July 3rd, okay. Which is what we're going to be addressing later.
Conspiracy theory?
Now back to your NBA stuff.
What happened to those guys?
So two things jumped out at me on Twitter. One was my friend Ray Ratto tweeted out that the Warriors are in talks with Mike Trout to acquire him now.
Oh, see, they're an even more super team.
And then, so another guy tweeted ESPN stats, the most points per game in the last three seasons of all players in the NBA, the Warriors now have three of them. So it's Harden, Curry, Davis, Westbrook, Durant, and Cousins. So they have three of the six guys.
I saw something put another way about their roster now after signing Cousins last night, 1 year, $5 million. Which Danny, you know, either knew about or didn't know about. Conflicting reports on that. I saw it phrased, I think it was the 15-16 All-NBA team, Arcand, that all those guys made All-NBA. Their starting lineup, if they started Cousins, Durant, Curry, Thompson, and who
is
am I missing?
Green or Iguodala?
And Green.
Okay.
If they started all five of those guys, they all made All-NBA in 15-16. I mean, first, second, third team.
First, second, and third. Yeah, okay.
Ridiculous.
It's the greatest starting lineup. If Cousins is healthy, when he's healthy, whatever, it's the greatest starting lineup in the history of the league.
Yeah, and we're not even talking about...
I mean, the only...
Starting lineup? I don't disagree with
that. Bird, Parrish, McHale, DJ, and Ainge is the closest you can come, and that's...
Bringing Bill Walton off the bench, throwing behind-the-back passes to Larry Bird. No one ever passed it like that.
Right.
No one.
Here you're bringing Iguodala off the bench, but I'm saying the starting five...
Jerry Seastein?
Yeah.
Sam Vincent?
Yeah. Scott Wedman.
Yeah, Wedman. Wedman was there.
20,000-point scorer.
What a team.
Yeah.
What would that team win now?
Well, again, you play in the time you play in.
44.
It's
86.
Oh, don't be stupid.
86 wins.
Please. Yeah.
No, with Scott Wedman off the bench, I'd up him to like 46.
Don't be stupid.
47.
Really. Yeah. All your front court are 6'9 and up.
Yeah, but three
of the greatest players, three of the top 50 players in history.
They'd all be standing under the hoop while people launch threes over them from 10 feet away.
Well, that'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. I mean, you know, a 46-win team. I'm curious on Boogie Cousins. Do you think, from the reporting today, and there's a lot of conflicting reporting on this, you know, Himmelsbach Globe says no offer. It seems to me, I mean, I don't want to say Mannix is explicitly saying they offered, but... He said by the time they kind of figured things out, by the time they made an offer, he was already on his way to Golden State. Like, does it feel like Danny got outmaneuvered on this one?
I don't think they wanted him that badly. I don't think if they did want him that badly, they would have been more involved before the decision was made.
Well, again, but then why do some say that he was offered? Like, Mannix uses the word offer. What did Haynes say last night? Their interest came down. Some were believing that the Celtics offered him $8 million compared to the $5 million that Golden State gave him. He saw the exact way that Mannix put it. The deal with Golden State was wrapped up before the Celtics made an offer. So, like, maybe they hadn't made it yet, but they were ready to make an offer. Yeah. Like, I think they wanted him, Dan. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that, but it seems like they wanted him. They just didn't realize he was there for the taking.
I just got the feeling this is one of those things where if they wanted him at a price or they wanted him tepidly, it's like, hey, if it's on our terms, and we'll give him a shot for a year. But he probably wanted the Warriors more. I'm just, you are negative, Jones. You are going to kick him over this, and I'm not going to kick him over this. And I love Cousins. I mean, just because of the talent. Well, but and so, I'm always but a believer it, of...
But if you believe in him, and I do too, okay? So I'm with you on that.
Ridiculous.
So if you believe in him, well, that's a pretty significant loss, Dan. That's not a nothing loss. Like, he's going to the best team that you're likely going to be playing in the finals, and instead of them getting him, you would have had him on your side. Like, that's not an insignificant one to swing and miss on.
I understand that, but it's they're so teed up to get to the finals, as is. There is the headache component to this guy, and I'm always to say, hey, that's what you have a coach for. If your coach is so great, you deal with it. I'm just not, you know, things seem to be going pretty swell here right now with the roster that they have, the people that are coming back, how far they got last year, the coach. I'm just not as into introducing this kind of talent into it. When they didn't have talent, when they would get smoked in the finals by Cleveland just 2 years ago, you know, with Isaiah Thomas, their best player, oh, yeah, well, whoopee, you know, that was like, that was different.
Well, so why is Golden
I was
State?
All about Cousins then, just
why
to get
Golden
talent.
Why is Golden State doing it? They have loads of talent. They're still willing to roll the dice on another guy.
Well, they've won 3 championships in the last 4 years, and I think they're just saying,
isn't that less of a reason to bring in a headache?
It's a little Patriot-like for them. It's a little bit like Randy Moss, Albert Haynesworth, like, you know.
They already got Draymond.
We'll give this guy a look, and they've got this core, they've got the coach, they have won. Yeah, I'm not going to beat up the Celtics over this one. Not now. Not because of where they are and what they have. I would have a couple of years ago when they were, saying, all the guys that they believed in that weren't that good, Jay Crowder, all that sort of thing. I was all about Cousins then. Today, not so much. The injury, the headache, and where the Celtics are positioned in their conference, I just can't get into beating them up over this one.
All right, well, then does that apply to other pretend? Like, if the Sixers get Kawhi Leonard, will you think the same thing, or would that be a whiff by Danny Ainge?
Well, the Leonard thing has always, to me, been about the one-year thing, and I'm less worried about that now than I was, just because of the way that the decks have been cleared in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I want to lose Brown or Tatum for 1 year or Leonard, but it's and I think you'd have to. So, again, I'd say no. If you could lock him up, yeah, or if you could get... If you could get, trade Rozier and bring him in for a year, I'd do that. But,
you wouldn't do what, stupid. We talked about this earlier. You wouldn't do what Oklahoma City did, give up Brown and try to sell Kawhi. I mean, like, Paul George just chose to stay in Oklahoma City. So, like, and he wanted to go to the Lakers. He was telling teams he was going to the Lakers a year ago, and he stayed with the Thunder. Like, this is the Celtics. You're one of the greatest, most decorated franchises in the history of sports. You don't think there should be more of an appetite to give up Jaylen Brown and then try to sell Kawhi on staying here like the Thunder just did with Paul George?
I think it's tricky to sell after the fact. I'm worried about that. I think everybody's on board with Brown ahead of Tatum. If you have to move somebody, you move Brown.
100%. I think that's sailed. Yeah, that's unanimous.
So we've got that. But at the same time, the future Brown versus not knowing if you're going to lock up Leonard, I don't think I want to do it. Things are, again, don't rock the boat too much here now. You're well positioned. It's got to be...
You're on deck for your one title.
Yes, you're on deck for your one title. And then you kind of go from there.
And then that's over.
You guys are you're trying too hard to make this harder than it is.
I don't think so. I mean, John, we talk a lot about how Ainge is still big game hunting, right? Isn't this the reason why? Because the Warriors can still go out there and get a guy like Cousins at a mid-level exception? Isn't this the reason why Ainge can never really stop big game hunting? Isn't it this exact moment that we're in right now?
I think the Warriors are better equipped to deal with the potential headache of Cousins than you are at this point. And again, I don't know, and I've never been the kind of guy who worries about the headache because, like I said, the coach is responsible for that, and I loved Cousins' talent. But with the injury and with the Celtics the way they are, I'm just not as into it as I was. I'm okay with it. I'm not getting him.
I mean, I still wonder how much say Brad has in this kind of stuff. Like, yeah. I believe Brad may not want the headache. I don't think Danny cares about that. And so you're right. You know, once they found out that Cousins would come at a cheaper cost, maybe they were more interested. I agree with that. Yeah. I just wonder if they did enough homework.
Prior to understanding the
numbers, I wonder if they did enough homework. And when he was there, potentially to be had, it sounds like he was calling GMs. He called Bob Myers of the Golden State Warriors. And I would assume he was doing something similar with the Celtics. If that's what it narrowed down to, I'd assume he did something similar.
He'd rather go to the Warriors than here. You know, a guy like that wants to go to the Warriors.
Sure, but the second you're informed that there's some interest there, they should have been ready to go. And I wonder if they were ready to go. They had more money to offer than Golden State.
But you have to agree that the Warriors are more equipped to handle the headache than the Celtics are.
How so?
Because of the veteran players that they have, the championships they have. You've got young guys here. You don't want this guy around, Tatum and Brown, necessarily. I just don't think it's a good idea to disrupt the mix there.
Okay. So the young player thing is fair. They haven't won anything here.
Nope.
I mean, outside of Kyrie. They haven't won anything here. Also fair. I don't know. I mean, I like I like Brad Stevens and his ability, I think, you know, from what we understand, to handle big personalities. I'd like to see him get tested a little bit. If the trade-off is getting a little more talent in here and getting a talented player who could help you beat Golden State, I'd like to see if Brad can handle it. But Golden State's probably better equipped to handle it. I agree. But, I think the Celtics are equipped. Like, I think the Celtics can handle that. And I'm disappointed that they didn't. 617-779-0985. How about Harry in Hudson? What do you got today, Harry?
Hey, how you guys? How you doing? Happy 4th.
Happy 4th.
Hey, I was wondering about the relationship with LeBron after the season starts with LeVar Ball. If he's on the sideline chirping and causing problems, how that's going to develop.
It's great to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. It's awesome.
I mean, is that it?
That's it. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You got the chirping on the sidelines there opening night. I do. I mean,
does Ball start? I mean, I don't even, is he in the starting lineup?
I don't think him and Rondo can possibly be on the same team.
Right.
I mean, so somebody's going.
Yeah.
Because, like, Rondo's not
It's not Rondo. They just signed him.
Well, Rondo's not going to back up, right? I don't think Rondo's signing with the Lakers to back up Ball. And I don't think LeVar Ball wants his kid on the bench. Like, even if Lonzo can handle it, you don't want to invite in LeVar yelling all year about being the backup.
How would you
to
like
Rondo?
To be Luke Walton right now? I mean, you think about that. You got the old man with this guy. You got LeBron coming in. You got Rondo coming in.
JaVale McGee, like, Lance Stevenson. I mean, you got a lot of weird people
show.
On that team. Yeah,
it's not great. I hadn't really thought about it in those terms. That's not great if you're Luke Walton.
Oh my God.
The treat to coach LeBron is that you get walked all over by LeBron James. He already does that to David Blatt and Mike Brown and Ty Lue. And now on top of it, you have LeVar Ball screaming at you, too. I guess I hadn't really considered it from Luke Walton's perspective.
It's LeBron, a team full of J.R. Smiths, and now LeVar Ball on the sideline making comments. Yeah, like, that just sounds awful.
Not ideal. Scott is in Peterborough. What's up, Scott?
Hey, I just want to talk about how Shaughnessy was talking about how the Red Sox and Yankees in the playoffs, and it's not fair. What about now LeBron being in L.A.? It's not how fair is that the Celtics get a free ride to the final?
I know, and I think someday in some future world, the NBA will seed 1 through 16. We want to be having this conference thing. I think we may be headed for more of that. I mean, I don't know.
You can see that happening.
You know, it would be more interesting, frankly, if they did. I don't think anybody should have that fair of a ride. Oh, and on the L.A. thing, does Windhorst have to move to L.A. now? How does that work?
So funny you ask, actually. We will play
He's
you
some, tired of hearing about this.
We'll play you some audio of this coming up. We'll get you the direct answer from Brian Windhorst coming up. The answer to that is, it sounds like a yes, but we can get that. 617-779-0985. That's true. LeBron James and Brian Windhorst are most definitely a package deal. We'll continue with all your feedback. Boogie Cousins, Celtics, how they stack up with the Golden State Warriors, what their ultimate definition of a successful run will be over these next 5 years. We'll do all that with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe coming up next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere,
you should work in the same building with him.
Did Zo leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
People are like, you know, just because they like to jab me because it's an American pastime. They're like, oh, you're going to move to L.A., blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dudes, I've been coming to L.A. for 50 or 60 days a year for 3 years.
I was just there last week. People are like, why weren't you on the free agency special? And I was just there for 4 days. I can't just live there. I have a family I got to see sometimes.
Yeah, I've been coming to L.A. for 2 weeks, you know, for 7 days a month for 3 years now. So it does not, I mean, it's not going to affect me at all. But certainly people like to make fun of me that way.
Oof. Brian Windhorst not thrilled at the implication there.
I wasn't making fun of him, but I think it's a legit question. I used to go to L.A. for a week every month when I was doing the Jim Rome show, but I wasn't going to live there. I didn't have to live there.
Well, he doesn't answer. Notice he didn't answer the question. He's like, yeah, it's not going to change my life much. Yeah, except you're going to have to go live there.
Yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing, by the way, but like, you're going to move. What, are you going to stay in Cleveland?
Yeah.
I go to L.A., dude. Yeah. Come on, dude. I'm in L.A. all the time, dude.
It's like Jim Gray has to be within the vicinity of Tom Brady at all times.
Right.
You know, just
whatever, somewhere, you know, within a one-mile circumference.
He'll be the one making road trips instead of Guerrero pretty soon. You know, it'll be like, where does Jim Gray stay? Does he stay in the team hotel? Is he on the sideline?
Good question.
You know, stuff like that.
Come on, brah. I've been going out to Southern California for years, brah.
You don't even know, brah.
7 days a week, brah. Hang loose, brah. So I just, I mean, I... Dan, you might know this. Yeah. We were talking about this before the show.
Dudes, I've been coming to L.A. for 50 or 60 days a year for 3 years.
Come on, Braj.
Dudes.
Come on, Braj. I've been doing this for a long time. Longer than you know.
Why is he going to L.A. 50 days a year?
A good question. The other sports center location?
LeBron only plays one game there.
That's the only thing I can think of. Yeah. The other sports center? He goes, right. He go, what other Lakers games? You've been going there for one weekend a month or whatever he said for what? Lakers and Blazers?
How did he manage to be with LeBron the other 80 games?
So let me ask you this, Dan. Has there ever been, and I'm not saying Windhorst isn't good at his job, has there ever been a reporter who was like more right place, right time than Brian Windhorst that spun that into a career? Has that like ever happened? He covered LeBron in high school, and that's turned into him being a prominent voice in the NBA.
I'd have to think about that. There's like, probably some comps on that.
Was there someone grew up with like Joe DiMaggio and covered him? Like did that ever happen? Like, are there stories like that? Like Brian Windhorst covered LeBron at St. Vincent St. Mary's, covered him when the got promoted to covering the Cavaliers, went to Miami with him, went back to Cleveland with him. Now he's going back out to L.A. Not just 1 month a year, Brian, but you're moving back out to L.A. Like, just has that ever happened?
Outside of Jim Gray and Tom Brady, I can't think of any comps on that.
What is that? What's their connection?
Who knows?
You don't know? Well, I didn't know if you were driving at something there.
Well, but when he's at Salem State, Jim Gray's there.
Yep.
You know, that Tom versus Time, with the last Instagram thing.
Yeah.
Where was Tom recently and Jim was there?
Oprah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Oprah, he was in Oprah's backyard.
Lurking in the background. Yeah. Like
Oprah's backyard, yucking it up with Giselle.
And there's the Westwood Radio strange thing every Monday night, whatever like that. You get that going on.
But that's not a right place, right time. Like, Jim Gray was already established.
Yeah,
like, this guy was covering high school basketball. And because he happened to be covering it in the right city with the right guy at the right time, he now is like, he breaks stories in the NBA. Like, that's kind of mind-boggling to think about.
Yeah, too bad like there wasn't a guy from like Parry Sound, Ontario that came here with Bobby Orr and just did his whole career.
but that'd be the equivalent. Like Bobby Orr grew up with a guy and he all of a sudden was, you know, Stan Fischler reporting on the whole NHL. Like that's like what that would be.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that. That's a good topic. It'd be fun.
There you go. That's a picked up piece. That's at least that's at least a sentence in a picked up piece,
I
feel like.
No question. I'm going to work on that, John.
617-779-0985. Let's get back into your phone calls. Henry's in the car. What's up, Henry?
Hey, guys. What's going on? My point is, you know, I think Boogie Cousins, I agree with you guys, got all the talent in the world. But he kind of reminds me of Carmelo Anthony in a way where he can score. He's regarded as one of the best players, but he's never going to win a championship. I mean,
he's about to win. He's about to win a championship this year. So I would disagree with you on that, but not when he's a key player.
Yeah, well, that's my point. Like, you think Boogie Cousins to me doesn't seem like a guy that's going to go and embrace a role of scoring 12 points and 8 rebounds to help them win a championship? The guy, you know, I think he cares more about personal accolades than or personal stats than winning a championship, and I think that might stir up some problems there.
Well.
Don't get me wrong. Golden State is still a phenomenal team, and they might very well win a championship. But Boogie Cousins, to me, is somebody that is not going to go to a contender, embrace a role.
Then he won't play. They'll just cut him loose. Again, it's short money. They cut him loose. I understand what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. But there's no risk for them.
I might not even totally agree that there's no risk. Like, they could cut him loose. But is that a fanboy way of looking at it? Like, oh, hey, the Warriors might be in trouble. They might be there for the taking. Or is there something to Golden State's been fine without him? Why introduce a head case? And I like him, and I want him here. But even I can acknowledge, like, the guy is a head case. He's moody. He's overweight. You know, he has poor shot selection. Like,
he just doesn't play. He gets in line, he doesn't play. That's it. It's a Patriot way in this one. And Randy Moss had that reputation, you know. And he came here and, you know, for a year was pretty darn good. It wasn't even good at the end, but he still talks about it like it was the greatest thing of his life, you know. But I think, you know, guys, and then a guy like Haynesworth comes in and it's like, Saka, you know what, and see you later.
But the front office and Kerr may not like him, but that the players may like him. If you outright release him, maybe that causes your own, that causes a headache that you didn't necessarily intend for. Like, I don't know. There's some risk to Golden State bringing in Cousins. I would acknowledge that.
Wasn't there also a big problem with the Warriors this year? Remember after they won and they were like, oh, you guys don't even know what happened behind the scenes this season?
Yeah.
Like, didn't it seem like maybe there was something going on there?
There's been all kinds of insinuation that, like, Draymond and Kerr don't get along at all. And, like, Draymond's a problem behind the scenes, I think.
Well, it didn't bother him too much last year, I guess is the point.
No, if there were a lot of,
you know, behind-the-scenes problems and guys not getting along or whatever it was, it didn't slow him down that much, if at all. So
true. I mean, is one more going to help or hurt? I don't know. Like, I'm picking Golden State to win. I'm not crazy, but I think a case might be made that, you know, he causes a headache for them, and maybe he ultimately is part of their undoing. Like, maybe they get, you know, the old Mark Cuban comment about the NFL: pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Maybe Golden State is reaching a little too far on this. Maybe it's too much.
Yeah, I think, again, I keep using the word equipped to handle it because of the mentality of the people they have in that team and the winning 3 out of 4, I do say very little risk. I guess no risk is too strong, but I don't see it as a problem.
617-779-0985. Peter is in JP. Go ahead, Peter.
Guys, how you doing? I kind of think the Boogie Cousins thing is a non-starter. It's the Kawhi Leonard thing is scaring me. There's so many red flags on this guy. He quit on his team. He didn't sit on the bench in the playoffs. Apparently, he had his uncle in his ear saying, you know, don't play because we got to get that next contract. He was injured. And I think Adam mentioned trading Jaylen Brown.
Correct, yes.
And
correct.
Are you serious? That guy's uber talented. He's a warrior.
Yeah, so is Oladipo.
No,
Thunder just did that with Oladipo and kept Paul George. Thunder just rolled the dice,
so what? I mean, that's two totally different things.
Why is it different?
I mean, I don't think Kawhi's going to play 100% if he gets here. You know, I know he's, you know, one of the top three players in the league, but not if he doesn't try. And he's threatening to sit out for the season.
Yeah, he's threatening to sit. No. Peter, you're wrong. He's threatening to sit out in San Antonio. He's not threatening to sit out if he gets his way.
If you throw Jaylen Brown in there, you can't be serious, honestly.
I'm being dead serious. Dan, you said this. If you knew Kawhi would be here long term, would you trade Jaylen Brown?
Yes.
Me too. Where we disagree, and where I'm coming from that maybe is too strong in the caller's eyes, I would give up Jaylen Brown for the opportunity to try to convince Kawhi to stay. But again, the Thunder just did that with Paul George. If OKC can convince Paul George to stay in Oklahoma, you should be able to do that with Kawhi Leonard. You can pay him more money. You're going to get to an NBA Finals. Like, I think you can sell him on staying here. Paul George wanted to go to the Lakers just like Kawhi wanted to go to the Lakers. Now, there's more questions about Kawhi than George, with his crazy uncle, as the caller alluded to, shutting it down with quote-unquote injuries. So, I mean, there are more questions with Kawhi, but he's also better.
Oh, sure. I'm with you on that.
So, again, I mean, if you knew you could keep him, I think most people would trade Jaylen Brown. And I think it's probably easier to negotiate and keep him and convince him to stay than people are leading you to believe. Again, the Thunder just did it with Paul George. 617-779-0985. Arkham with all the latest in your headlines. And we continue with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe talking Celtics, NBA. Maybe we can get to this new draft pick, Robert Williams, who just barely started showing up.
He practiced yesterday.
Yeah, maybe we can do that next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox scored a 4-3 win over the Nationals last night in Washington. Rick Porcello, a 3-run double in the second inning off Max Scherzer. Porcello with the win as well. He improved to 10-3, allowed only 2 earned runs over 6 innings of work, struck out 5. Mookie Betts, his 21st home run of the year, a solo shot in the 7th inning. Red Sox and Nationals will continue their series tonight. Brian Johnson getting the start opposite Tanner Rourke for the Nats. Yankees lost to the Braves 5-3 in 11 innings at Yankee Stadium last night, meaning the Red Sox back into first place by a full game in the American League East. Lots to get to in the NBA here. DeMarcus Cousins headed to Golden State, a one-year deal. Ian reporting it's worth $5.3 million, and also reports saying the Celtics were Cousins' other choice. The Lakers signed former Celtics guard Rajon Rondo to a one-year, $9 million deal. Avery Bradley re-upped with the Clippers, a two-year deal worth $25 million. That coming in last night. The Celtics did make a move yesterday, making it official, signing guard Brad Wanamaker. The terms of that deal not yet disclosed. And Celtics rookie Robert Williams back practicing with the Celtics Summer League team after he missed his flight over the weekend. In World Cup today, Sweden beat Switzerland by a final of 1-0, and Colombia in England kickoff at 2 o'clock. Your Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Hooters, where the food is hot, the beer is cold, and the game is on. Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield, Hooters makes you happy. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 1 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I went home to get a couple of things, and just a misflight, miscommunication by me. It's all on me. So just looking to push forward and move past that.
What did the coaches kind of talk to you about after that?
Just accountability, which they expressed to me a lot when I first got here. Just accountability and just stressing that this is a job. You know, things are different in college. So just knowing what you have and the opportunities are limited.
Have they talked to you about any discipline?
Definitely. They discipline you for words more than you may know, but maybe a couple extra sprints or something like that. I don't know.
It's Robert Williams. Some good extra discipline from the Celtics. Some words, mostly words. Maybe mix in a few extra sprints. That's took it 27.
Where was he draft night? He just stayed home?
Where? Yeah, he was wherever he grew up in Louisiana.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisiana, yeah.
So they found him that night.
Oh, they found him that night, for
I know
sure.
He slept through the thing the next morning.
Yeah. They found him that night.
They did.
Then he slept through the conference call. No big deal.
Time zone problem.
Yeah, time zone issue. Right. Yeah. Then he missed his flight to Summer League. He did show up for his press conference in the middle, though. So
oh, you
no
meant 9:30 a.m. on the conference call. Oh, right. Okay.
Right. I'm supposed to fly with you guys. I get it. I see.
And on the draft night, were there guys there who were picked that low?
Like physically there at the draft?
Yeah.
I want to say yes to that, but I wouldn't swear by that. Yeah, yeah. I feel like there were guys. Were there still guys in the green room when the Celtics picked at 27? That's a good question. Maybe not. I don't know the answer to that. You know, in the past there have been. You know, Rashard Lewis and guys like that have fallen into the second round. I don't recall.
But there wasn't like a draft party at his house with video crews and all that.
He's at Buffalo Wild Wings. There was the local affiliate in Louisiana, I think, or Texas. I'm trying to remember.
Is it like on that commercial when you hit the button and you can affect the draft?
I think that's what happened. I think he was like, oh, we're having such a good time at Buffalo Wild Wings. He was going to go 14 and someone pulled the lever. They're like, need another beer. Someone pulled the lever. He's like, oh, okay, we'll drop it down to 20. Okay, well, maybe he'll go in the 20 range. No. Hey, we're still having a good time. Pull the lever, drop him to the Celtics at 27. Yes.
Sprinklers go off.
Yes. Yeah exactly. They throw a wrench in the plans. So Robert Williams, I do think there's a bit of a tie-in with Boogie Cousins. And it's like, is Danny Ainge really on top of stuff in this offseason?
You are so negative.
Well, hang on. So did you see the video with him and Terry Rozier? Arcand actually brought this up.
Everything they say about you is true. What happened to you? We weren't like this in the Dan Shaughnessy show.
I was. We just had guests in the first segment. I got thrown off. I had to get my footing.
Did I do something to damage you? Did I bring too much negativity into your life?
Yes. I learned from the master. So Arcan brought this up. Like, when they were on the phone with Rozier, you saw Danny like FaceTime with Rozier. Did you see this story? And Danny's like, hey, I think we're going to draft this kid Bob Williams out of Texas A&M, but I got to go over the medicals. Like, okay, so you didn't know the medicals? What? DeMarcus Cousins. Hey, the Celtics were interested, but by the time they found out, Golden State already offered him. It's like, are they fully on top of things here, Dan? Like, now you're at the top of the NBA. You need to be on top of these things.
There's like 100 people working over there and all this stuff. They're on top of everything.
Are they?
How can you miss anything these days?
I don't know. That's a good question. It sounds like they just missed multiple things. I just gave you two examples it sounds like they missed on. I don't know that they were ready on Robert Williams, and I don't know that they were ready on DeMarcus Cousins.
Hard to believe.
Why?
Because they're ready and everything.
Danny said to Terry Rozier they need to go through the medicals.
That was just for entertainment purposes.
No, he didn't know he was on TV.
He didn't know he was on.
He had no idea he was on. He thought he was just talking to Rozier. He had no clue he was on. He's like, yeah, I got to go over the medicals on this guy. I have no clue what they look like.
Who's this guy Williams?
Yeah, Bob Williams. So just, I'm starting to wonder. And this is, the higher up you get in the NBA, the less you can afford to swing and miss. So I don't know. I think the Robert Williams thing is interesting to all of it because it tells you they're willing to roll the dice on a questionable talent, which is exactly what Boogie Cousins is. Or I shouldn't say questionable talent, a questionable personality for the upside of talent. Like, the reason he fell is motor and attitude. He was suspended at Texas A&M. Like, that's why he fell. He didn't fall because he can't play.
Jones, if it makes you feel any better, Red once drafted a guy who wouldn't fly.
Who was that?
I can't remember the name. It was in the 60s, I think.
It's a guy recently who wouldn't fly,
right? Yeah, I'm trying to. Who was the Iowa State kid?
Royce White.
White was similar.
That's not doing your homework.
That wasn't Red Auerbach. Yeah.
Yeah.
A guy who won't fly, that's a problem.
Yeah, in the NBA, it's a big problem.
Not ideal. Yeah. I mean, a guy who can't set his alarm also is an issue, Dan, I would say. That's not ideal. Guy who can't make your flight.
I mean, you can take a train to the Knicks games.
You can love to fly all you want. If you can't show up on time, that's a problem. That's not great either.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. So that's Bob Williams. Darnell and Quincy would like to jump in on Boogie Cousins. Go ahead, Darnell.
Hi. This wasn't my take, but real quick, I just want to say, every time you hear Robert Williams talk, you just want to cut him right away.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I'm not ready to cut him, but I'm not loving what I'm hearing.
Right, yeah. But anyways, about Boogie, I don't know why people are acting like the Celtics really missed out on something here. I think they dodged a bullet. I just don't see, after high school, when has Boogie made a team better? Teams get better when he's not there. I just don't see how he would have fit here. I don't even see how he really fits all that well in Golden State. I don't think Golden State got all that much better. I think it was just a shot in the dark, and we'll see how it goes. Like Dan said, if it doesn't work out, get rid of him.
But How was his year at Kentucky? They couldn't have been too bad.
They didn't even make the Final Four, and they had five first-round picks that year.
Yeah, the greatest night in Kentucky basketball history. I remember that.
They had John Waller, Blitzel, Cousins, Patrick Patterson, and somebody else, and they didn't make the Final Four.
Yeah, they had another big guy who went late in the first round that year.
Cal said that night, you know.
Greatest night. Yeah, Daniel Orton, I think, was the name of the other guy. Yes, greatest night in Kentucky history.
Yeah. Pat Riley begged to differ. A few of the 8-all rough guys.
I mean, your guy Cal broke through and won a title, though.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Not with DeMarcus Cousins.
No, no, not with Boogie, but he needed Anthony Davis to do that, but he did break through and win, ultimately, finally.
And they haven't vacated that one yet.
No, that one, that's still there.
Still there.
They haven't vacated that one yet.
Very true. Vacancies in downtown Detroit, John Calipari.
He better start working on another one. I'd agree with you on that. The caller asked, like, why am I characterizing it that way? I don't know. I'm reading the reporting. Adam Himmelsbach, your Boston Globe there, Dan. According to a league source, the Celtics never made an offer to DeMarcus Cousins. They'd heard he might have interest in Boston, but by the time they started to look into it, he was with Golden State. Like, that sounds like a guy they wanted, and they're like, oh, wait, he wants to come here? Like, that does that not sound that way?
So you go this negative 5 hours a night?
Yes, Dan? that's the show, Dan. Yes, that's what we do. You call in. You and Tom Curran like to call in and have little powwows. So you
forgot about that.
You've heard the show before.
Now, you know I didn't know he had called in when I called you, right?
No.
I just heard him. I got in the car, and I heard him, and I'm like, that's my station. They're calling Curran to get his opinion on this thing? I'll weigh in on this.
Oh, so you knew
Curran called here, too.
You knew he was on the air. You just didn't realize he called us.
I thought you guys had him as a guest or something.
No. So you're like, this is my turf.
Thank you. I'm like, this guy's killing me all over the place, but on my own station? My fellow Americans here?
So that's why you called
in?
I can't believe they're calling Tom. No, Tom called us.
Yeah, I was unaware of that.
Tom called us.
That was kind of a bad optic.
He can listen to his station or ours, and apparently he was listening over here.
Yeah.
And decided to call in.
By the way, Cousins did make the Pelicans better, just for the record.
See?
Okay, he got there and went from 34-win team to a 48-win team.
Yeah, but then he got...
Then he got hurt.
Then he got hurt, and they won a round in the playoffs without him.
Okay, if he played, they might have won too.
Maybe. I mean, I like Boogie. I don't know how I feel about that argument. I try to strengthen the argument that they as much as I could, but they did not miss him in the playoffs. I don't think. On Curran, real quick, your argument about, I mean, I already thought it was strong. Like, how could we not look at Guerrero and Edelman and the whole? How about when they're all filming a video together and they're all out there, Brady's throwing to Edelman and Guerrero's sitting there like the TB12 pump up thing that's come out since then. How are we not supposed to make the connection with Edelman when they're filming videos together?
But I took that as a good thing that they're not mad at Edelman. I thought that was good.
They're almost going to bat for him.
Yeah.
That very well might be the case. They might be going to bat for him. I just think, how are we not supposed to make a connection with those three? When they're all filming little selfies together.
Yeah, I thought the best Edelman play in that whole thing would have been for him to say, yeah, this had nothing to do with Alex. I made a mistake. I went with some other guy, gave me some stuff, and said, do that again.
Alex threw him under the bus. Arcan said that
right away.
Big time.
Yeah. Right away. I couldn't believe
before
that.
Before anybody was even mentioning him.
Yep.
Before Edelman released Guerrero released a statement saying how disappointed he was with Edelman, and now Edelman's doing videos for TB12. I thought that was very strange.
Like, what? That's very serious loyalty there from Julian Edelman, if nothing else. I would have told Guerrero to go bleep himself.
You know what else is weird about that whole thing is the notion that one of the pushbacks from the Edelman camp appears to be they don't even know what it is.
Mm.
I'm not sure that's a winning strategy if you're connected with Alex Guerrero. It's like, he's so good.
It's never been detected
he's
before.
He's got stuff that they don't even know.
They're so far ahead of the testers, they have no idea. That's
not good for Tom. It's not good for Alex. It's like, I was surprised that that was attack taken because it's not the friend of TB12.
Especially if it's a masking agent.
Yeah.
You know?
If there was going to be a Julian, as a newspaperman there, Dan, if there was going to be a Julian Edelman news dump, where do you dump that? The night before the 4th of July? Do you wait till Friday of 4th of July weekend? When do you dump that story?
Well, you're hoping it'll be before 2 o'clock today?
No, I was just curious. I was just curious if today's the day. I don't think it's going to be before 2.
I mean, the next five minutes would be nice.
Yeah, next 5 minutes. Yeah, that would be true. You could take a little victory lap right here on your own turf. Right here on your own turf. Dan's in here marking today. 617-779-0985.
Kern pulls up in the driveway.
We have Dan.
Banging on the door.
Dan's dates. Big date tomorrow. How about July 3rd? Dan's dates coming up next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
The Dapper Dan.
All right, Dan. July 3rd, not July 4th. July 3rd. What do we got?
Well, it's weird to do this with you young guys here because I'm used to. I mean, Zoe's a little bit older than you guys, so and he.
Yeah, Zoe's a lot.
Zoe's
older.
A lot older.
His mind works.
How old do you think we are?
No, you're young. You're like 34.
Yeah.
So, his mind works in strange ways, though. Like you can say, like apricots, and Zoe will start talking about Casablanca or something. It's like there's no real cause and effect with what makes him think of things, which is always fascinating for this portion of the program. And Beetle is an unusually old young guy.
I mean, he?
Yeah, he knows things beyond his years.
Yeah, that's not me. I barely know my years, never mind beyond my years.
That's the challenge here with you young guys, as I was saying. So, July 3rd is today. People who were born on this day, you all know who Gloria Allred is, right?
Yes.
Okay, because she's
powerhouse lawyer.
She's all the Me Too movement and the whole bit. So she's 77 today. You know who Dave Barry is?
The columnist.
Barry. Okay, Christian's got that one.
Rick
yeah.
Barry's kid, right?
Nope. He's 71. This one you will not know. Betty Buckley is 71. She was in one of those shows like The Brady Bunch or Eight is Enough or something. She was the mom.
What was the second show?
I think it's Eight is Enough.
Eight is Enough is a show?
Yeah, sorry.
I've heard of The Brady Bunch.
Your listeners, some of them know what we're talking about. You do not, it's okay. This guy you'll know. How old do you think Tom Cruise is?
Ooh.
Today's his birthday. Top Gun, today.
60.
He is 56. He's going to be mad at you. So, how old do you think Brian Cashman is, general manager of the New York Yankees?
49.
He's looking a little bit like Vlad Putin these days.
60. He's also 60.
He is 51. He's going to be very unhappy with you.
Going the wrong way.
Yeah, very unhappy with you.
Didn't you put out a tweet with Cashman and Dombrowski that got a lot of play the other day?
Picture of Dombro and Cashman behind the cage talking, and I put out a caption contest. There were some beauties, most of which can't be repeated here.
Oh, they can't be?
But they had unusual shirts on, kind of like little boy shirts, and there was that, and it was just, anybody got Hanley's number? You know, it's all that stuff
something like that.
Our readers are very good with that sort of thing.
Yes.
Franz Kafka was born on this date. He's no longer with us. You know who Kafka is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the backup quarterback for the Eagles, Mike Kafka from Northwestern,
boy.
Yes.
Oh, boy, don't even try it. some people died on this day. Andy Griffith died on this day.
Oh.
That's unfortunate.
That's tough.
Yep. Andy of Maybury. Don Drysdale died on this date in 1993. He was only 56 years old. That was a
Tom Cruise's age.
Terrible thing.
That makes you think.
His wife is in the Basketball Hall of Fame, Ann Myers.
Don Drysdale's wife?
Ann Myers. Yeah. Her brother played in the NBA. He was once traded for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But yes,
wow.
Ann Myers. On this date, 1968, Louis Tion struck out 19 batters for the Cleveland Indians.
Whoa.
Louis was the ERA champ in the American League that year for the Tribe. I think he was... Gibson was 1.61. They had really low ERAs. No, Gibson was 1.12 in 68. I think Tion was 1.61. So that was the year of the pitcher.
Then they had to raise the mound.
Stuff that happened on this date.
Lower the mound.
1775.
Something to the mound.
General George Washington took command of the Continental Army in Cambridge, Mass.
Oh.
So George Washington was here.
Yep.
To take command of the Continental Army.
Wooden teeth and everything. Just
right across the river.
Chattering all over the place.
He was right there.
Yep.
On this date in 1890, Idaho became the 43rd state of the Union.
Wow.
Been there? No?
Never been to Idaho.
Idaho? You went to school out west.
I went
no
to school
Idaho?
In Colorado. Never went to Idaho.
Huh.
I have not either.
What the hell you go to Idaho for?
I like their potatoes.
Nothing.
I like their potatoes.
They send the potatoes to other places. You don't have to go to Idaho.
And their blue football field. That's what I like.
No, when you have those remote places, like, how good could the teams be? I always say that. Except for Lawrence, Kansas. I get those basketball guys. Bags of cash have to be flowing. How do you get all these guys? Wilt Chamberlain, Paul Pierce. What's the attraction to Lawrence, Kansas?
You ever been?
No.
Well, then maybe you got to go. Maybe it's one of those places you just got to go to, Dan.
They have to give me bags of cash like those guys in order to get me there. That's what I say about that.
Paul George stayed in Oklahoma. You never know.
Yeah. On this date in 1938, President Franklin Roosevelt marked the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg by dedicating the Eternal Light Peace Memorial. So, obviously, this was the end of the Battle of Gettysburg as well, mm-hmm. July 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Pickett's Charge.
July 3rd in 1944, during World War II, the Soviet forces recaptured Minsk from the Germans.
Oh, Milan to Minsk.
Just a ruble's throw
from Pinsk.
From
Milan to Minsk, Rochelle.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You're getting your references out there.
Not bad.
Jim Morrison died in this date in 1971. Do you guys know who that is?
Of course. Yeah, man. It's tough, man.
I know who Jim Morrison is,
yes. You do? Jones?
The Lizard King.
Jones?
Yeah, Val Kilmer. Yeah, sure.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you go to Paris, they all go to his grave over there. He was buried.
Yeah, it was in the movie. I know.
He died in a bathtub.
Yeah, they go on. Yeah.
Yes. On this date in 1976, another movie-related episode, Israel launched a daring mission to rescue 108 passengers from Air France crew, the raid on Entebbe, which became a movie. I think that was Forrest Whitaker. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But that was in there.
Forrest Whitaker was on that one?
Didn't see that
one.
Yeah,
could be wrong.
It's on my Netflix queue.
Okay. I think Jimmy is already... Okay, so the other two takeaways from July 3rd. One is Brad Stevens was hired today.
5 years ago today.
And you talk about salary dumps. I mean, news dumps. Like, why would they have done that on the 3rd of July?
I don't remember. By the way, no one had that story. The Celtics just announced that.
Right.
I remember that vividly. I did not remember the date at all. Like, I can remember being in this building, like in that studio where Jim Louth is, on the other side of being like, oh, they got Brad Stevens. Like, I remember that. I just don't remember it being the day before the 4th at all.
I wonder what day of the week it was. Because, I mean, you know, it's the eve of the 4th. This is the weird midweek thing for the 4th, but
yep.
Yeah, and no one had, there were no rumors about that. Again, very,
it was a press release in your inbox.
Yeah.
Celtics have brought in Brad Stevens. Like, that was it.
It was a Wednesday.
All right, so I can tell you, when these guys bought the team, Wick and Pags and the crew, there was no rumors about that either. It was just announcement, team has been sold by Thanks Dad Gaston to these guys, and it was just like that. They sent it out.
They work in stealth.
The last Dan's Day, which I know Jimmy behind the glass already ferreted this one out, but yes, this is the day that Back to the Future was released in 1985.
Yeah!
All right, who's the singer here?
Huey Lewis.
Yeah, Huey Lewis.
Okay.
Who can't hear anymore, right?
And the news?
The news didn't sing, but yeah. Isn't Huey Lewis deaf now?
Yeah.
Did I read that somewhere? And he, like, canceled all his tours because he can't hear, so he doesn't know what his pitch singing is or something?
I don't know.
Went to high school at Lawrenceville in New Jersey, same high school as Bob Ryan, and Nick Francona, Lawrenceville Prep. Also, Armand Hill, for your reference.
Armand Hill, the Celtics assistant?
Yes, he was MVP of the NIT in 1975 and did well with Princeton and then had a good decorated career.
Huh. Yeah. Lawrenceville's right there next to Princeton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Armand Hill.
Did you like Back to the Future when it came out? Were you like a fan?
Loved it, still, and if it comes on late at night, I can't, I have to watch it.
How about 2?
No, that was it.
How about 3?
They all,
3
all
in the
terrible.
Old West?
It was 1 and out for that one, but it was, the 1 was great.
You didn't like 3?
No,
the
1 was great.
You didn't like when they rigged up that old locomotive and sent that Back to the Future?
Maz has a line from that, when they're running around and he finds out that Ronald Reagan's going to be president, because this is like, In the 50s. And he's Ronald Reagan, the actor. Who's vice president? Jerry Lewis?
Not to be confused with Huey Lewis.
Not to be confused with Huey Lewis. Man. Yes, Lawrenceville.
No.
Back to the Future.
Dan's dates. He didn't miss anything? That's not, I mean, you know, we're just young idiots over here. We don't
know anything. A whole lot of Wimbledon today. Day in history.
Chris Everett won their third Wimbledon. Everybody, you know, all the Wimbledon dates are through here. Yes, that's it.
A lot of Wimbledon dates.
Yes, but no one cares.
Hmm.
I did the best I could with who I was working
there
with.
There weren't here, like a lot... You know? There weren't like a lot of firework accidents. Like, this wasn't like the JPP anniversary or something like that.
No, I'm surprised Zoe from Rentham hasn't called in. Where's he from? Where's he calling from?
Zoe. This week would be the Cape.
Yeah, Zoe in the Cape.
Zoe in the Cape, yeah. Well, if you listen, Zoe, we love you. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Zoe knows I love this one.